Well, I'd like to welcome you once again back to the Saturn-Earth connection. And this is Curtis Cooperman. And today we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about Nikola Tesla, which is going to be a very difficult thing to do, not to talk about him, but to explain, try and explain Tesla very quickly. And it's not going to be that easy, but it's going to be interesting, I hope, for you. Today is the 3rd of February and it's snowing outside, 2009. And the Saturn Earth connection, this is a website that really is trying to stay focused on one big subject, and that is the luminous sphere out near Saturn. And Tesla falls right into this category also, because of electricity. And but before we talk about Tesla, let's just this Saturn-Earth connection. Well, Saturn is so far away. Let's say if I was out on Saturn and we were trying to say hello, I'd say hello, and then it would take 70 seconds for my electronic voice to reach Earth, and you'd hear me say hello, and then you'd say, "Hi, how is it out there in Saturn?" And in the meantime, I've waited 70 seconds. Now I've got to wait another 70 seconds until I hear your response. So Saturn is way out there. So way out there, they have put together this architectural world, and these celestial beings are out there. And I know two people personally, Michael from Maui and Riley Martin. And I've known Riley since 1994, and I've known Michael for about 2 years now. And the whole subject matter is very interesting. And but today we're going to switch and talk about electricity and Nikola Tesla. Well, I brought a bunch of my Tesla books together onto my desk so I could kind of wing this, but Nikola Tesla, he was a man born in 1853 and he died in 1943 in New York City. And I didn't know anything about Tesla. So I was very surprised, but let me just tell you how I found out about Tesla. And when I did, first thing I thought of is, what's the big secret? Why is this man a secret? So more than likely, everyone listening to this were, well, you weren't born in the 1800s. And that's when Tesla was born. And Tesla did a lot of things, and he was in the newspaper quite a bit. And I mean, there on the headlines, not the headlines of the newspaper, but headlines to a story, it would rave about Nikola Tesla and not rave about Edison in the same heading. And but I learned all about Edison. I didn't learn about Tesla. But going back to when I was a kid, one of my favorite books I had was on electricity. And boy, I tried to learn everything I knew about electricity. My dad was a ham radio operator and build a few things, and I never became an electrical engineer, but one of my dad's friends was an electrical engineer, and I went over to his house one day and I said, "Marvin, now here's a man who helped develop radar, and he was from Doylestown, or he's from Doylestown, Pennsylvania." And I said, "Oh, I saw you on that PBS show on radar. You know, who invented radar?" And he was one of those guys in that group. And "Marvin, what do you know about Nikola Tesla?" And his response was, and I'll never forget it, "Only what's in the encyclopedia." Oh, so he pulls out his encyclopedia, and there's a paragraph about Nikola Tesla. I mean, I could stretch my fingers between it on one hand. So it wasn't very long. And he didn't know much about Tesla. And here I am, an adult at the time, but I couldn't believe he didn't know much about Tesla. And this has been fascinating me that people don't know about Tesla. So anyway, when I was a kid and I had that science book, nothing in there about Tesla. And oh boy, I learned all about Edison and in my science classes and nothing about Tesla. And then well, I love flying, so I read this story about one of the moons of Saturn, and it's interesting, it is Saturn. One of the moons of Saturn, Russia was claiming that it was receiving a signal from the moon of Saturn called Titan. And the signal, I remember, was just beep, beep, just something that couldn't be coming from there. But anyway, this article, so I started collecting all kind of articles and you know what kind of magazines. And anyway, I wish I still had that pack of stuff, but I'd lend it out. But I noticed that nothing was about. Well, I'm sorry. And then I lost my train of thought. Anyway, so here I am learning about UFOs, and then I learned about this man about electricity, and I thought, who is Nikola Tesla? I've never heard of him. And I thought, well, this can't be much. But the more I read about Tesla, involved with UFOs. Now, why is that? So, anyway, there's a reason why. And there's a reason he was kept a secret. And there's a reason why I was not taught about Tesla. And there's a reason why electrical engineers who have several patents said, he didn't know much about Tesla himself. And I mean, one time I was in a hospital setting, and I took my violet ray machine in there, my violet ray generator, and it was really on for my mother. And here's this doctor standing over me, and I said, "Well, it's a Nikola Tesla device," and he says, he didn't know anything about Tesla, but he knew there was units of measure called Teslas on a piece of equipment in the hospital. So that's all he knew about Tesla, but most people just don't know about Tesla. So in my learning about Tesla, I got a book called A Man Out of Time. And it's Margaret Cheney's book, and title or under the little caption it says, "One of the most brilliant and strangest scientists in history." Well, let me talk about this third grade science teacher named Mr. Wagner. Well, I found Mr. Wagner on the internet by just searching Tesla, and what he did was he was very much interested in Tesla. And he found out that the Smithsonian didn't have anything on Tesla. He said the only thing they had was Edison, and below a bust of Edison was Nikola Tesla's invention of the alternating current produced by a spinning magnet on a shaft, and that little device was right in front of Thomas Edison's bust. It had the patent number on it, which was Nikola Tesla's patent, but no word of Nikola Tesla. So, Mr. Wagner decided to get his students involved in getting the Smithsonian to represent Tesla. So he decided to have all his students write to electronic companies. And they wrote to Sony and companies like that, electronic industry. Asking, since everything came from Tesla, let's in science and background at the Smithsonian, my gosh, why not have a bust of Tesla? So one of the students' parents was a sculptor, and he said if they would produce the material, he would produce us a bust of Tesla, and the students presented it to the Smithsonian. Well, the story goes that the Smithsonian rejected it. And Mr. Wagner is walking out with his sculpture feeling horribly rejected. And I don't know how much later he realized, oh, I'm glad they rejected it, because what if they would have said, oh, thank you very much, this is really wonderful, and they put it in the storage room in the back and they wouldn't display it. So he went on to reproduce the bust of Tesla and send it to universities and get Tesla's name out there. I can no longer find him on the internet. But Margaret Cheney's book was written, I guess, in the 60s. 81. And I'm thinking about when I started learning about this, but I didn't realize she was in 81. But one of my books on Nikola Tesla, before I talk about Margaret Cheney's, anyway, her book is, it's a good book. It really tells what Tesla's all about, and she did a very good job reporting, and that's what I'm going to try not to do when I talk about Tesla, is to tell you the story of who he is and where he came from. But I will say that he was born in Yugoslavia, and then he was highly respected in his field of electronics, and he ran into someone who knew Edison, and he wrote him a note, and he said, "Dear Mr. Edison," something to the effect is, "I respect you very highly in this world, and one other person, and it is this man." And it was Nikola Tesla. So Tesla took that letter to Edison, and he got a job working with Edison. And now here I am explaining who Tesla is. And he got a job working with Edison. And one day Edison came across a problem that was impossible to fix. And he said to Nikola Tesla, "I'll give you $50,000 if you solve the problem with his dynamo." Well, Tesla put his mind to work. It wasn't the direction of electricity he wanted to go into, but he solved the problem. And when presented it to Edison, Edison said, "Well, you just don't understand. We Americans, we're a bunch of jokers." So Tesla didn't think that was a joke, and he left. And actually, he was so upset. He worked in a rock quarry. And he just wanted to get his feet back in foundation again and get back on track and get back on his own track. So he had a laboratory in New York, and you can read about that in Man Out of Time. But in Man Out of Time, there's one line in here right in the beginning I want to read to you. It's about Margaret Cheney's book. And I'm sorry, this is Margaret Cheney's book, talking about Margaret Storm's book. So she says, "Margaret Storm's book, published by herself and printed in green ink, was based on the assertion that Tesla was an embodiment of a superior being from the planet Venus." Well, Margaret Cheney did not say he was from Venus, but Margaret Storm did. Now I'm holding a book called Return of the Dove, The Story of Freedom's Star by Margaret Cheney, written in green ink. She was probably not from this planet. And Nikola Tesla was not from this planet. He certainly was a human being, and he certainly looked like us, but anyway, it's just hard to spring that on you right away that he was not from Earth. But before I talk about Return of the Dove, another book I have, Tesla, the Modern Sorcerer, I was very interested to read about JP Morgan in here and Morgan backing down with Tesla. Well, there was more in here about Morgan backing down. And they had built that Warren Cliff Tower, and they were going to build something really magnificent. And Tesla, anyway, JP Morgan pulled his funds out because he didn't. He started thinking about Tesla. He said, "Boy, this is a very strange man. Whatever he says he can do sounds totally impossible, and then he can do it. He has accomplished so much, and that's why JP Morgan was funding him." And but then when he found out that he was building something where people all over the world could have electricity, you could live in Kenya, and well, wherever you are when you're hearing my voice right now, you have electricity. But as soon as you don't have electricity, your house is in really bad shape. But if you were without electricity for let's say 3 months, it would be like a third world country at your house. So when you go to a third world country where they don't have electricity, that's what Tesla was doing. He was going to be able to put a light bulb right into the ground and pull electricity right out of the ground. And he did that in Colorado Springs. He proved that in Colorado Springs, and then he came back and to the East Coast and built this tower. But it was this book, Tesla, Modern Sorcerer, that J.P. Morgan, I just read more about Morgan's dealing with Tesla and starting to realize, I don't like this guy. He says he's talking to people on Mars, and he probably is. So that was one reason he pulled out, but probably the biggest reason he pulled out of funds was because he heard that it was just going to be free electricity. Which gets me to go to an old book. Let's see, is this it? Is this it? This book is from 1800, 18. No, it's not this one. That one's from the 1800s. This one. This is no. Well, this one's April 1895. Printed in 1895, and there's an article about Tesla in here. Tesla's oscillator and other inventions. Well, in here was the photograph that I've never thought I'd ever see. And it is his experiment showing the lighting up of an ordinary incandescent bulb at a distance through the influence of electrified ether waves. So I've always heard that Tesla was able to pull electricity out of the ether. Just pull electricity out of the earth, or just have free electricity. But I never saw the device until, or even a picture of the device, until I found this book from 1895. And it shows what it shows is a large coil. Looks like 3 feet in diameter, and stands, I'll say, 20 inches high, the coil itself. And then this whole thing is standing on four legs, but what really gives it away are the little tiny wheels. The little tiny wheels show this coil doesn't weigh a ton. This coil actually is so light, I'm surprised the wheels are so small, because if you would push this thing, they look like little coasters. Anyway, that's but this is a photograph from his laboratory in New York with Mr. Clemens, who is Mark Twain, was one of his close friends, and his Nikola Tesla's laboratory, I'm sorry to say, was destroyed by fire, and That couldn't have been because something he did. That was probably someone who didn't like what Tesla was doing and was competition with Tesla. And there's only one person who that I can think of who would burn down his laboratory. And that's either Mr. Edison himself or someone he hired. But probably Mr. Edison himself. So that's my speculation. But that book is from 1895, and this one is 1899. And this is Peterson's magazine. I'm sorry, what was it? Pearson's magazine. And this is a. And there's a story in here about Tesla, the new wizard of the West. Well, these are just a few stories. There were lots of stories. I don't have everything written on Tesla. That's, it would be enormous amount of stuff on Tesla. Oh, I see. Enormous amount of stuff on Tesla, but when I went to school, no one told me about Tesla. No one told Marvin. He was Marvin. He's I guess he's in his 90s by now. I haven't seen him for a couple few years now. Well, anyway, Marvin, maybe he's not in his 90s. He could be in his, probably in his 80s. But he didn't know anything about Tesla. I see. So if he didn't know anything about Tesla, he's a lot older than I am. And young people today are starting to learn about Tesla because Tesla is now being talked about. But in the 60s and 70s, Tesla was not talked about. Okay, the 80s, underground people or underground stories or UFOs, I'll call them, they started talking about Tesla. And so I came across this book, Return of the Dove, and it took me, I was looking in the wrong place. I was looking on eBay. So it took 9 years until it came up on eBay. And I'm so glad it did. And I got the copy. And this is from Ottawa, Canada. It's out of the library. And it's signed by Margaret Storm to A.E. Covington. May the dove bring to you, dear reader, all the joys of our essential eternity. So that is pretty neat that it's actually signed by her. And so since I pulled this book out, it's like, oh, I should read this again. I've read this several times and keep coming back to my Tesla books. Return of the Dove. Oh, I would like to say that in here, there's a chapter called the Arthur H. Matthews story. Well, Arthur H. Matthews. So I started digging in about Arthur H. Matthews, and I found a book written by him called The Wall of the Light, and by Arthur H. Matthews. Nikola Tesla and the Venusian spaceship, the X-12. Oh my gosh, wow. So this was really interesting. And in the back of the book, it has, isn't it the back of this book or forward? Oh, it's near the front. It has the same drawing of Margaret Storm from 1959 from Return of the Dove. And so Arthur H. Matthews was an electrical engineer and friends of Tesla. And he knew he was not from this planet. And this is amazing. It shows a drawing of the X-12 saucer, and it makes the house next to it look like those little tiny houses in Monopoly. So the Wall of the Light. So Tesla was totally into vibrations. And there's so much I could say about Tesla, but you've all heard of the Tesla coil. And Tesla, okay, I'm pulling up, it's actually a book published by PBS. I think this is published by PBS. Well, I got it from PBS. It's not published by them. Metrome Books. But this one's called Tesla, Master of Lightning. And this is also written by Margaret Cheney and Robert Auth. And this is a large, oh gosh, I guess it's like 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper, so it's a big book, and it's a bound book. And this was from 1999. Now this is a very good book. You can go on the web to PBS and go find Nikola Tesla, and it comes with a DVD, a video, or you could either buy the video and the book or both. I suggest getting both because in this book are amazing old photographs that I, some of the photographs come from my 1800 books, 1899 and 1895. And this book displays his big achievement. And that is winning the War of the Circuits. And I forgot to turn off my phone. And that didn't do it. I don't want to stop. Okay, I'll just get back to them later. So this War of the Circuits was AC and DC. And Nikola Tesla was doing the alternating power, and Edison was doing direct power. And in, let's just say, like New York City, where Edison had power plants, he had to have them like every city block. And every city block, he's got a coal-fired furnace in there running a generator to turn over or create his, anyway, he was burning coal to produce his power. And Tesla, so Tesla was doing alternating power. But what happened was, this was the final straw with AC and DC, that the Columbian Exhibition in Chicago in 1893, better known as the World's Fair in Chicago, they wanted to have it lit up. And they put out bids, and the bids came in where Tesla was bidding and Edison was bidding. Well, it turned out that because it was DC, Edison, it was going to be so expensive to power all those light bulbs that Tesla won the contract because he wasn't going to spend so much money. And the power was coming from Niagara Falls, which is quite a ways away, and it was over transmission lines, so it included that big feat of not having to have it right next door. And one little incidental thing about it, Edison got so annoyed that he would not give Tesla the right to use his light bulbs. Oh, great. Now Tesla had to make his own light bulbs. So he made his own light bulbs. And at the World's Fair in 1893, when you went there, it was, well, you can find books and souvenir things on eBay from the Columbian Exhibition in Chicago, 1893. But there Tesla is, and he did these exhibitions where he stood on this plate with these high cork shoes and passed 1 and 2 million volts through his body. and it made sparks come out of every pore of his skin, every hair follicle, all his fingers. There were sparks coming out of everywhere. Well, now this is my speculation, but I think when Tesla wanted the day off, nobody else was allowed to take his place. And for those of you who remember Ed Sullivan, or even have watched anything on television, you've never seen anybody with sparks coming out of their fingers or tips of their nose, and but this was a different type of electricity. This was a type of electricity not made with his generator, but made with his coil. And his coil, better known as the Tesla coil, and that's where he was presenting it. Or I don't really have a solid date of when he invented the Tesla coil, but basically it was 1893 when the public was seeing this for the first time, when sparks were coming out of everywhere of on his body. And another exhibit he had at the fair was this spinning egg. It was an egg on this platform, and that would spin, but that wasn't very impressive to people. But one of his other things that was impressive was like a small auditorium room where the doors opened up and all these people from the World's Fair just kind of flowed in and filled all the seats. Then they closed the door behind everyone, and now there were no doors in or out, and there were all these windows above. From what I remember, it sounded like there were like four windows on each side of the room. And one by one, they would pull these shutters over the windows, but the shutters were made so well, they blocked out all the light. So when the very last shutter was put in place, the whole room fell into darkness. Well, with the room totally in darkness, the next thing that happened was Tesla turned the lights on. And what his demonstration was where's the light coming from? All of a sudden, what was a room in total darkness that they couldn't see the shutters anymore, bloom, the whole place is lit up. And now they look up and they can see that none of the light's coming in from the windows because all the shutters are closed tight. Well, okay, a side note, if you go to, well, you can't go there, but at Area 51, I heard below ground, below one of the hangars, Adrian, no, not Adrian, not DeVar, but okay, I can't think of his name. Oh my gosh. Anyway, he went out there, and when he went below the ground, I'll talk about him someday, but I can't think of what his name is right now. I can think of it as Adrian DeVar, but that is anyway, he went below decks, below the ground level in one of the hangars, and he was sent out there to look at this spaceship engine, and they wanted him to tell them how did the spaceship engine work. Well, they didn't tell him it was a spaceship engine, and okay, I'm sorry, I've got to go on my. In my computer for a second and look and see what this fella's name is. I have it. Okay, I still don't know. I'd have to walk across the room, and but anyway, he was fascinated. He had a hard time looking at the spaceship engine because he just was fascinated. Where's the light coming from? The whole room was lit up. Well, that was a Tesla invention that they are using out in Area 51 underground, and they don't let us use it there. We're using light bulbs and we're still using wires to transmit electricity, where Tesla created free energy, and that's when JP Morgan pulled out. And okay, I don't mean to jump all over the place, but I just found out recently who was about to fund Nikola Tesla after JP Morgan bailed out, and that's Benjamin Fulford's great grandfather. Well, he wanted to fund Tesla, and he was killed mysteriously. It was the very first automobile accident, and Benjamin Fulford thinks it wasn't an accident. And Benjamin Fulford is a wonderful subject to listen to. He's in Japan, and he is a he used to work for Forbes magazine in finance, this finance section, and he has a good handle on what's really happening in the world. And it seems to me that whatever he says is happening happens like 6 months later, or we feel it 6 months later. But so I found Benjamin Fulford by typing in the word Tesla murdered, and that was in April of 2008. That what I read that night when I typed in Tesla murdered had me so upset that I couldn't even talk to Marcy that night. I couldn't even tell her what I was reading. I told her the next night. And that's an amazing story. But when Tesla was up on his Wardenclyffe Tower out in Long Island, he was with his with an associate of his called his name was George H. Schriff Sr. And I've read about George H. Schriff in the Tesla books, but I read about a lot of other guys too that Tesla was around, different people that he mentioned, which he didn't mention that many, but he was one of them. And but anyway, that's a total another subject, and still on the subject matter, but not in this, not on this recording. But I will say that that was on the 30th of June, 1908, that Tesla and George H. Schriff were up on the Wardenclyffe Tower with Tesla's device that he called a teleforce. And Tesla had many inventions, and his teleforce was one of them. He developed that to stop all wars in the world. He said for a short, for a small amount of money, that you could build one of these for $2 million. And he said every 10 miles or every so many miles you would need one. And you could protect your border of your country. Well, this is the thinking of 1943 when war was a big, and still is a big subject. But we just don't have declared wars. We just, but that's politics, and that's a whole nother subject too. But I'm trying to stay away from politics. But Tesla, so he was up in the Wardenclyffe Tower before it was completed, and he pulled the trigger or pushed the button of his teleforce, and he was trying to signal John Perry, who was, John Perry was trying to reach the North Pole, and he was held up for the winter in, I forget where he was. He could have been in Greenland. He was very close to the North Pole, but he couldn't make it. So he was held up there in the winter, and then when the summer came, he was going to continue on. So Tesla thought, well, let me see if I can hit something up there in the tundra area and have him see it. Well, he missed, and it hit Siberia, and it was probably what is known as the Tunguska blast. which gets deep into what happened or with that instrument that he developed. But you can read about it just by going to Google and typing in 1943 New York Times and just write Tesla, Tesla. And you will read an article where Tesla said that he can melt airplane engines 250 miles away. Well, when I read that years and years ago, I just thought, oh, that's very, very interesting. But I thought it was his way of saying he will stop all the airplanes, that no one can bomb your country and you can protect your country with his teleforce. And I really didn't want to talk about his teleforce. But anyway, you can read about it there, but while I am talking about his teleforce, Nikola Tesla's book called "Lightning in His Hand: The Story of Nikola Tesla." In here is an amazing account of what his teleforce did or had the potential to do. And it's like clues to things that are unsolved, and I don't want to go there. But another thing Tesla built was his what was his turbine. And his turbine was an amazing piece of equipment that wouldn't anyway, I don't know why we don't have his turbine. But let me get back to the beginning of what I was saying about Tesla and why he was a secret. There is a reason why he was kept out of my history books. Maybe he's in the history books now, but history books back in the early 1900s, he was in there. And I don't know when they took him out, but they whitewashed him out of our history. And there is a reason why he was taken out of the history books. You have to understand that who runs the school curriculum? My friend John Skitzko is a science teacher, and he couldn't teach what he wanted. He had to go by the curriculum. So when the administration walked in and heard what he was teaching, he better be following the curriculum, not teaching things like, well, let's say take a candle and go, have a candle lit and go, and there you see the smoke go up, and he'd say to the students, well, what's that smoke? And well, the answer is that's unburned fuel. And but then you light the candle again, and there is no smoke. At least you can't see any smoke. There's a reason why, and that's because all the fuel is being burned. And the fuel is the wax, not the wick. I mean, the wick is just a string, and strings burn. Well, this wick doesn't burn until the wax burns, and then the wick burns down. Simple things of science that that are pieces of the puzzle when you are a thinker. Tesla was definitely a thinker, but one thing that J.P. Morgan was afraid of Tesla about was that Tesla wouldn't really he wouldn't really I was just looking at my time to see how I'm doing. Tesla wouldn't build something to see if it worked. Oh no, he knew it worked before it was built. He had it all worked out in his head and ran it in his mind. And it always worked. Well, okay. The fact that Tesla was a human being, wait a second. I thought humans can't do anything right the first time. And basically, they can't build anything right the first time. You build it a little bit better, and you get it a little bit better, and you build it a little bit better. But Nikola Tesla wasn't like that. He just, when it was built, it worked. And when he told everyone what he was building, it was so far unbelievable and so far advanced. A radio, Nikola Tesla invented the radio. Marconi worked with Tesla, but Marconi got the credit for it. And it wasn't until Nikola Tesla died, or I found out he was murdered. But it wasn't until Tesla died that Tesla was given credit for inventing the radio through an act of Congress. So here Tesla dies, and an act of Congress makes him the inventor of the radio, but go buy a brand new dictionary at the bookstore and look under radio. It will not say Tesla's the inventor. It keeps saying Marconi. There's a reason why. There's this this play, this Agatha Christie play that well, it wasn't a play, it was her book, her novel, and it was called The Death of Roger Ackroyd. But anyway, there's a line in that movie, and I put it on my website. And the chief inspector is saying to Perot, he's saying the fact that the murderer, he's talking about a murderer that called, and the chief inspector said, well, the murderer called from the train station. And the chief inspector says to Perot, he says, why would the murderer telephone at all? It makes no rhyme or reason. And Perot said, oh, there is a reason, chief inspector, of that you can be sure. And when we know it, we will know everything. And that is so true with everything that is supposed to be impossible to figure out. But our whole world has changed since, well, here, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about politics. But I almost started talking about September 11th and what happened in New York City. But still to this day, they don't have a solid reason why a 110-story office building turned to dust. Oh boy, a lot of things were exploding on the way down. Boom, boom, boom. So a lot of people thought, hey, it's explosions. But the police department and the fire company in cities have seen buildings that have collapsed, and there's a huge pile of debris. Well, there was no pile of debris in New York City. And it wasn't due to explosions, because explosions can't turn something to dust. But let's shift gears and get back on track on Tesla. Inside the dust jacket of this Tesla book called Master of Lightning, there's the drawing of the gun that brought down the World Trade Center. But I wasn't going to talk about that. But getting back to how magnificent Mr. Tesla was, I have this section called Electricity for Health. And it shows this magnificent lightning bolt. And here, let me pull it up on my screen. Here's this magnificent lightning bolt and different shades of clouds. And boy, you can even see it hitting the earth and the plume. Now, understand, people have been hit by lightning bolts and lived. Well, I mean, I can tell you the simple answer is that's because they weren't standing in water. They were standing on something that was non-conductive. Lightning bolts have a tremendous amount of power. But they're not the kind of electricity made with a magnet that you put your finger in the socket. You don't put your finger in the socket, but that type of power is made with a magnet. Electricity or lightning bolts are another creation. And Nikola Tesla created lightning bolts. And in his Colorado laboratory, Colorado Springs laboratory, he made lightning bolts and, oh boy, as thick as your arm. But my little description of this lightning bolt under electricity for health, just think of a lightning bolt high in the sky, 1 or 2 miles, as thick as a tree trunk. But you smell ozone down here right away. Well, that's because that electricity, that violet colored electricity from the lightning bolt, which is a vibration, came all the way down to us. Actually went through us too. So sensitive people say, oh, outside, the world outside, it smells better, it's cleaner. The plants and trees, everything is perked up. People feel better. And people say, oh, I love to walk after a thunderstorm because of the amount of ozone in the air. And, well, you can't forget the negative ions. We humans love negative ions. Four negative ions to three positive ions. That's about the amount of negative ions you get when there's lightning in your community. Or in your area or overhead. But anyway, go down a little bit on electricity for health and you'll see a looks like a jungle, looks like vegetation type trees, but there's a lightning bolt striking the ground and there's a violet color on both sides of the lightning bolt. Well, that violet color is electricity. So Nikola Tesla invented the Tesla coil, and from that came a machine called the violet ray generator. Well, I have a bunch of these old generators, and I wish there were new ones on the market because I think they're great. That they and I'll talk about them sometime, but right now I'm just trying to stay sort of on the general topic of Tesla. But what the violet ray generator does, it has two Tesla coils in it and basically has a switch to w use one of them or both of them. So if you want to put it in your mouth, you only use one of them. But if you put it on your arm, you can use both of them. And you can actually see the sparks and feel them. And ooh, I felt that. So I'll be doing someone's arm. Let's say it looks like a little. It's a glass applicator, and inside the glass applicator is this violet color, the same violet color that is in this lightning bolt. And that violet color, I'll have someone, oh, just hold out your arm. So between their elbow and their wrist, I'll take this applicator, this glass tip applicator in the Tesla invention called a violet ray generator. And I'll rub it over someone's arm, back and forth, for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and enough to have them say, oh yeah, I don't feel any electricity. And then I'll stop it and I'll say, okay, smell your arm. They'll smell their arm, they'll go, oh. Well, I get one of four answers. I get it either smells fresh, or it smells clean, or it smells like flowers. Or it smells like ozone, or it smells like thunderstorms, or some people say it smells like chlorine. But really, what they mean is it smells clean. And that's what happens when you have lightning storms. So then I'll take that violet ray generator, I'll put it back on their arm, and I'll hold it on their arm, and then I'll reach down to their ankle. And I'm going to tell, and I just see a little bit of skin there, and I'm going to tell them, I'm not going to touch your ankle. I'm almost going to touch you, but I'm not going to touch you. So while I have it on their arm, I go down to their ankle and just barely touch them. Ooh, They could feel a spark down where my finger was, down near their ankle. What does that tell them? Oh my gosh, this is going all the way through me, just like a lightning bolt. That's why Tesla could have this electricity go all the way through him. And I have a couple photographs of guys who have built large Tesla coils and sat on them and had sparks coming out all their fingers and their thumb and their ears and their nose. And I heard it hurt a little bit, or it really, the kind of thing. But Tesla is amazing. And I'm just paging over my Electricity for Health page because I'm not sure where I'm going to put this audio. But it's there's a lot of things to talk about, and Tesla certainly is one of them. And this water ozone generator, it's a lightning storm in a box. And the reason I am saying people should have one of these is because of what it does for you. And it's basically from 1893. So here's an old device that you were not allowed to have. We don't want people to have these because they won't be sick. They'll be like drinking lightning bolts, or really what you're drinking is atoms or oxygen atoms. You take oxygen as a molecule, which is O2, it's two atoms, and psh, you break it in half with lightning. And now you have two single atoms of oxygen, and those are cleaners. And it bubbles through water, you drink the water. Anyway, it's really wonderful. And you can read about that and hear about that on my website. But that's the reason I have that machine, that generator. Now, before this is over, I want to get to another book I have called Can a Man Live Forever? And this is not necessarily about Nikola Tesla. This sold for 50 cents in 1898. This is a little book. It was an expensive book. It's a little hard to find. First paragraph. First paragraph, chapter one. That's all I need to read. The National Institute of Science, it starts out by saying, it says, on December 15th, 1901, Congressman C.C. Clemens of California introduced a bill in the lower house of Congress for the establishment of the National Institute of Science. Oh, very interesting. This is about Tesla? Yes, it certainly is. And you should see what they were doing in science with Tesla. And this is a secret. I've never talked to anyone who's even heard of this book. But I was lucky enough to find that book on that wonderful thing on the web called eBay. And so that's really cool. So I think I've just about went through most of my, just touched on my Tesla books. For those who would like to read about Tesla, I would suggest getting Tesla, The Modern Sorcerer. That is a wonderful book. That's really, really wonderful. If you can find Return of the Dove, that is a wonderful book by Margaret Storm. And I'll get into this maybe on some other hour that I do. But I've got to wrap this hour up and say I didn't know I could do this all by myself. Next time we'll be taking phone calls and we can talk about Riley or Michael or Saturn or Cassini or NASA or the Urantia book or how strange the Urantia book is. The book The Coming of Tan, Riley Martin's book that he couldn't have written by himself. That was another impossible event. And I published that book in 1995, and I'd like to tell you that story sometime. But this hour is over, and it's time to say goodbye, and I'll do this again. So thanks very much. Bye.